You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Do you take responsibility for the chaos that's unfolding?
Of course I take responsibility. I'm president, but it was horrible what to see, as you saw. To see people treated like they did, horses barely running them over, people being strapped, it's outrageous. I promise you, those people will pay. They will be, an investigation underway now, and there will be consequences. There will be consequences.
There is President Biden holding a news conference today, pushing the booster shots, but in taking questions, dealt with the Border Patrol agents, those mounted Border Patrol agents that were seen on horses with Haitian refugees, trying to corral them, basically, and keep them in one area, slapping at them with the long reins they have on their horses to keep them from getting too close to the horse to either interfere with the agent or the horse, or endanger themselves because the horse might kick at them or step on them. But the story has been misrepresented, continues to be misrepresented, and now the President of the United States, no surprise, buys into the lie that they were using whips against Haitians. They were not using whips, and they were not beating anybody. They're just trying to get them away from the horse. Do not let the facts interfere with the good story the libs are telling. This is September 24, 2021. So Biden did say, I take responsibility for the mess at the border. No, he did briefly, but then quickly moved into blaming the Border Patrol for whipping Haitians trying to enter the country. Not a fact, but it does fit the leftist narrative. And the weapon is, or rather the video is certainly weaponized. Even Al Sharpton made a trip to the border because Haitians are involved. And Haitians are black. And Al Sharpton sees an opportunity. That's why he went to the border. And a lot of people didn't like him being there and yelled at him. This is not a racist issue. Del Rio, Texas is not racist. Get out of here. By the way, most of those Haitians have not been living in Haiti. They've either been in South or Central America because they'd already escaped from Haiti. They had asylum in other countries at this point, but they decided it looks like the Biden administration is going to let everybody in, so we're just going to go ahead and gather. 15,000 plus gathered under that bridge at one time. Conditions horrific. Biden takes responsibility for that too, does he? Now they've moved them out. We don't know where they sent them. They're not telling us. Now here's a racist issue. New York City, you have to show documents before you can enter a restaurant if you're going to dine indoors. Mayor Bill de Blasio put that in effect. You had to vaccination documentation that you have a vaccine and have had it before you can enter a restaurant. New York State data shows 85% of the blacks in the state are not vaccinated. Another report shows 75% of blacks in New York City ages 18 to 54 are not vaccinated. Is that racist? Well, former New York Congressman John LeBoutier will be joining us later. I'm going to ask him about his thoughts on that question and the immigration questions and the issues. John LeBoutier always identifies himself as a Reaganite, not a Trump supporter. We'll get his view on all of this. And what about service members refusing the vaccination? Should they be allowed to do so? Or should you follow the leftist agenda that if they refuse, they should get a dishonorable discharge? Dishonorable, which amounts to a felony and follows on the rest of their life. Also a guest today, Chris Bedford from The Federalist. He says Catholic bishops bear responsibility for a lot of the immigration crisis. We'll get into that. And a new scandal involving Hunter and Daddy. Dems ignoring, of course, this story like they do all stories like this. Just like we said originally, the computer laptop story about Hunter Biden, as reported by the New York Post, was not true. Now they've admitted, yeah, that was true, but the election's over now. We're all good. And Maricopa County finished recounting ballots, and they say the results stand. All they did was recount the same ballots. They didn't go through verification. That's the issue. Oh, and here's something that is almost funny. VP Harris won't go anywhere, but she was going to go on The View with the ladies of The View. Apparently, word coming down that the host had to be rushed off stage. They've all been fully vaccinated, but then they tested positive for COVID. We got a lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beal Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We are learning new information tonight about a report alleging President Biden's son Hunter attempted to shake down the Libyan government for millions of dollars. Chief Washington correspondent Mike Emanuel tells us what he's hearing tonight. Good evening, Mike.
Brett, good evening. These emails about Hunter Biden were obtained by Business Insider. The first email from January 28, 2015, written by a Democratic donor named Sam Jahari to Sheikh Mohammed al-Rabani, an Obama campaign donor. They were reportedly seeking to help recover billions in Libyan assets frozen by the Obama administration when Joe Biden was vice president. Jahari lays out Hunter's demands in a January 28, 2015 email, writing, "Per phone conversation, I met with number two son. He wants $2 million per year retainer plus success fees. He wants to hire his own people. It can be close circle of people for confidentiality. His dad is deciding to run or not." Today, the top Republican on House Oversight called these latest revelations troubling.
Hunter Biden has a pattern of abuse, a pattern of trying to sell influence to his family. So I think this just vindicates a lot of people like myself and a lot of my colleagues in Congress who have always said Hunter Biden, someone we should be suspicious of.
Suspicious of? Yeah, I think so. That is a Fox News report on the latest revelations that Hunter Biden was involved in some kind of shakedown because Daddy was going to be a big figure in the U.S. political scene, and he thought here's a chance to make some money. The remarks coming there at the last from James Comer, Republican of Kentucky, who is on that House committee, that's taking a look at some of this new bombshell report from Business Insider. Now, again, let me restate for you what it claims happened. The story, according to Business Insider, Hunter Biden wanted an annual $2 million retainer to aid in recovering Libyan assets frozen by President Obama while Daddy was VP. That insider report is based on emails that were not on that laptop drive that originally was reported by the New York Post, the one that was apparently given to a Wilmington repairman who in turn gave it to the FBI and former New York City Mayor Giuliani. So the insider published information yesterday from two unrelated emails, one from January 28, 2015, from a Democrat donor, Samjou Hari, to Sheikh Mohammed Al-Rabani, an Obama donor. And as you heard, Juhari wrote or said, no, actually he did write, it was appearing in an email, per phone conversation, I met with number two son and he wants, it just shows $2 per year retainer. That was just cryptic for $2 million. Goes on to say he wants $2 per year retainer. His dad is deciding to run or not. In other words, whether or not daddy runs, if you want me to help you get this money back, you're going to put me on a retainer of $2 million a year. And Juhari goes on to talk about that Hunter's positives are that he's chairman of the UN World Food Program. He's a business partner of SOS J. Forbes K-Son. Forbes is a middle name of John Kerry. And Hunter has also been linked to Christopher Hines. That's J. Forbes' K-son. Christopher Hines, the former Massachusetts senator's stepson through marriage. If you recall, Kerry married the ketchup heiress, Teresa Hines. So here's this information that's now breaking, and it's different than the original laptop story involving other monies. But how it's reported is not any different, because as this material begins to come out, you get the mainstream media, now the state-controlled media, just trying to ignore it and push it out of the way. But before we get to that part of the story, last night on Tucker Carlson, journalist Glenn Greenwald was on the program with Tucker Carlson. Now, he is also an investigative reporter, and he said, in looking at this information that is all part of this new book that just got published by the Insider, and the information that comes out of the Insider report is, again, all based on emails on a hard drive that was not the original laptop that we were all reporting. I know it can get very confusing to you. There was the laptop that Hunter left at a repair shop, never picked it up. Because he didn't, it became the property of the shop owner. Then he opened it up and realized what it was. He turned over the FBI and Giuliani. That was the original story as we went into the election. But it came through the New York Post. And the other, quote, at that time, mainstream media ignored it and said it's a lie. It's all fake. There's nothing there. They have now done a 180. They've acknowledged, that was a real story, but it doesn't make a difference now. That election is over. But now with this book coming out by Politico reporter Ben Schreckinger, this is after he dug through other emails and found proof that they were authentic, according to what he puts in his book, that's still to come out. It again says, here's more evidence. Well, what are they going to do about it this time? So here's Glenn Greenwald on Tucker Carlson last night.
The new book that just came out is from this young reporter at Politico who spent months digging into all of these emails. And obviously, had he unearthed proof that these emails were forgeries and put that in his book, he would be a star. You would know his name. He'd be a household name. He'd be on every TV show. But because his reporting said the opposite, he found even more proof that all those emails were authentic, which meant that these media outlets, all of them, pretty much, with a few exceptions, deliberately lied to the public in the weeks before the election by telling them that this was Russian disinformation when they knew it wasn't true. They're ignoring his book. He's not a right-wing journalist. He's from one of the most mainstream publications. He has the proof in his hands that they all lied and they don't want anyone to know it.
And they don't want anyone to know it. And what this does is not just indict Hunter Biden more. It also says what Daddy was involved in. There were already communications, as you well know, in the original email laptop about money being held back for the big guy. And remember Tony Bobulinski, who was one of the partners with Hunter Biden and others, and came forward and said, yeah, clearly a lot of that money was going to be going to which Biden? Not Hunter Biden. Joe Biden. Senator Ron Johnson, Republican of Wisconsin, reacting to these latest emails and said it's all pretty sleazy again. And he's warning that President Joe Biden could be compromised. He also appeared on Hannity's program last night, and Hannity flat out asked him. And again, because Senator Ron Johnson, Republican, Wisconsin, led a Senate investigation into Hunter Biden's overseas business deals, he was asking the senator and pointing out that that senator and Charles Grassley came up with a lot of information regarding the Burisma side of the story. Remember the money that Hunter was getting from an energy company? They knew nothing about energy, but they're giving him a lot of money. Why? Because his name was Hunter Biden. And even Hunter Biden later acknowledged, yeah, that's why it was in part of the deal. Larry Connors didn't get any of that. If I changed my name to Larry Biden, maybe I would. Well, Senator Johnson last night pointed out, it's interesting this report is now coming out. This is the one-year anniversary of when Senator Grassley and I released our report showing a vast web of foreign financial entanglements, so many different transactions into China. We laid out all the information we had on Burisma, but so much more had been revealed, and quite honestly, our report really was a catalyst for more people to come forward. And that is why Tony Bobulinski came forward at that point. And again, Senator Johnson said, we tried to warn the American public that if they elect this very unfit human being, he's referring to President Biden and even names him then, that he was going to be compromised, that he represented a counter-intel threat, an extortion threat, and now we're seeing example after example. And this latest thing, the one we're just talking about, that's gathered by a Politico investigative reporter. Politico is not a right-wing organ. Neither is the reporter. But he says the evidence shows that Hunter Biden was indeed, again, trying to get money. Trying to get a $2 million a year retainer. And give me that money, then I will help you get $15 billion worth of assets that were frozen. The U.S. froze regarding Libya. And all of this means compromised situation for debt and possible extortion. But again, is this going to be covered? Is it going to be ignored? Is it going to be kind of shuttled to the side? Is it going to be just kind of, if you don't report it, it doesn't exist. There's no smoke, so there can't be any fire. Investigative reporter Greenwald on Tucker Carlson last night said this will follow the normal, typical liberal media business model.
They know that they have an audience filled with liberals who hate Donald Trump and the Trump movement. And their only business model is to aggrandize those people. And they know that even if they lie and get caught lying, their audience and readers don't care. In fact, like them even more because they believe they're on the right side. So you have a huge numbers of journalists who believe that they have the right to lie. And even when they get caught, they don't care because they know their audience won't hold it against them.
Won't hold it against them. And Senator Johnson added something else last night while he was on with Tucker Carlson. He said, but you know, what I know is we don't know a lot, but I know the Chinese government knows everything. The Russian government knows everything. So these foreign countries that were doing deals with Hunter, they know exactly where all the bodies are buried, where all the corruptions occurred. It would be naive to think that they're not, you know, holding that over President Biden's head at this very moment. He is compromised. The opinion of Senator Ron Johnson, Wisconsin, Republican. In the meantime, a Congressional Research Service report claims that Biden might have improperly avoided, that's a way of wording that he evaded, not avoided paying taxes. Avoiding paying taxes, okay, if you can get around not having to pay them, that's fine, but evading is different. But they're saying he improperly avoided paying Medicare taxes before he took office. He could owe the IRS up to $500,000. And, of course, Congressman Banks points out Biden wants to raise taxes by $2.1 trillion, claiming the rich need to pay their fair share. But then Biden skirted on his payroll taxes and might owe $500,000 or more. Everything hidden under an S corporation. One expert said there are millions, literally millions of S corporations. The IRS doesn't have enough time or people to bring all these cases to bear. Going to be more to come out on that story as well. When we come back, President Biden holding a news conference today and question about the border. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Here's some good news. First Crypto World is now open in St. Charles, the first brick-and-mortar store where you can learn about cryptocurrencies and buy crypto merchandise. First Crypto World also has 3D printing services. In fact, I'm getting some promotional items printed. 3D. Get full details at firstcryptoworld.com. firstcryptoworld.com.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Do you take responsibility for the chaos that's unfolding?
Of course I take responsibility. I'm president, but it was horrible what to see, as you saw. To see people treated like they did, horses barely running them over, people being strapped. It's outrageous. I promise you, those people will pay. They will be an investigation underway now, and there will be consequences. There will be consequences.
There will be consequences. There will be consequences. Not because of the thousands huddled under that bridge for days, and more are on the way. He's not going to take any responsibility for that, Biden's not, but the images of what appear to be Border Patrol agents whipping some of the Haitians when, in fact, they weren't. They're going to weaponize the video, the pictures. They have already done it. So now those Border Patrol agents, by order of the Biden administration, can no longer use horses in the Del Rio sector. They're not going to be allowed to use any of the horses. In fact, the Border Patrol agents that were caught on that video or pictures are now shifted to desk duty through this investigation. You know what? For them, they say, you know what? That's a fine. I feel for my colleagues are still stuck out there, but I'll just stay inside in the nice, cool air and shuffle papers. They need more help out there, but now they don't want us. They have, by the way, finally cleared the group under that bridge. At last report, I'm looking at a piece from about an hour ago, that the final two buses loaded up some of the Haitians under the bridge. There are apparently no more Haitians under there, but they're still not telling us where they're going or what's going on. And, of course, what they want to focus on is not the migrants who were there and more coming. They want to focus on Border Patrol agents supposedly using whips against the Haitians. You know, you heard yesterday, Congresswoman Maxine Waters also went to the border.
What we witness takes us back hundreds of years. What we witnessed was worse than what we witnessed in slavery. Cowboys with their reins again whipping black people, Haitians, into the water where they're scrambling and falling down when all they're trying to do is escape from violence in their country.
Well, the fact is, Congresswoman Waters, they were not whipping them. They were not trying to knock them down. They were trying to keep them away from the horses. In fact, Border Patrol agents and anyone who's ridden a horse, and particularly if you're in a crowd trying to control it, you use the reins, the longer reins, to kind of help control the horse, twirl it around, move it one direction or another. But I doubt she's ever been near a horse. Might have been around a few horses. Never mind. And I'll say the same thing about Biden. In fact, there might be the horse I was thinking about when I referred to Waters. Never mind. That's not what they were doing. And Brandon Judd, head of the National Border Patrol Council, said, here goes the president making a determination. He says, now that the president of the United States had already said they did wrong, how is an investigator supposed to do a true and honest investigation? In other words, they've already been convicted by the president. And the other thing Maxine Waters said, which is wrong, she said they were just poor people, Haitians, trying to escape a country where they were subject to horrible things. And so they were, most of them had not been living in Haiti for 10 years in some cases or longer. They've either been in Central or South America. They had asylum from Haiti. They were no longer in Haiti. They came up there to the border because word got around that Biden administration, if you set foot on U.S. soil, you'll get to stay. And guess what? All 15,000 of them, except for a few, shuttled back to Haiti or spread across our nation. Where? We know not where. Coming up, a guest that claims Catholic bishops are to blame for this immigration issue.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
There's no place to hide down here. No place to hide down here. Went to the rock, got on my knees. I heard the angels weep for me. No place to hide down here.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
My current guest we've had on numerous times before, always glad to have him, senior editor with The Federalist, Chris Bedford. Christopher, glad to have you on board again, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I've got several things I want to pick up with you. And first of all, one of them where you say that the bishops of the Catholic Church bear a lot of responsibility for the disaster of the scene we've been watching in Del Rio and other immigration issues. Before I go any farther, are you Catholic?
I am.
Okay, so I want to make that clear to the audience. I don't want them to think that you are someone of some other religion or no religion condemning Catholic bishops. So you write and say, more than any other religious group, it is America's Catholic bishops who lend moral support and cover to the current border situation. In what way?
That's true, and I think it's through a couple of different things they do. And when I say that they bear responsibility, I want to make clear that that does not mean that they are guilty of what is going down there. They are not smuggling children. They are not smuggling human beings. They are not trafficking in weapons. They are not trafficking in drugs. But what they have been doing over the past number of years through, I think, a mixture of well-meaning but incorrect theologies has been providing a moral shroud and a moral shield and a moral cover for open border policies. And these things have real consequences. And some of the things that I focus on with where the Catholic bishops get it wrong, they cite frequently the love of neighbor, and we are called to love our neighbor. We are called to Christian charity, and it's not just the kind of charity that you want to give. It's what makes you uncomfortable. So it's not just having your parents and your friends over for Christmas. It's also reaching beyond that group. But in the great book, Summa Theologia, Thomas Aquinas reaches out into what exactly do we owe this? How do we owe charity? And first, of course, we owe it all to God, and then through ourselves to those who are closest to us, those who are blood relations, those who are around us, those who are actually our neighbors. To break it down most simply, it's those who are in proximity to us and are closest to us simply because we only have so much good to give. So there is a certain order of these things that I think are sometimes forgotten. We also have a duty as Christians to follow the just laws of a nation that we are entering or the people that we live under.
All right,
as long as those are...
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The just laws are made in the image or sought to be in the image of God's law. That is how you're supposed to do this. Now, not everything that we have here on earth is something that is going to exist when the kingdom comes for Christians who are waiting on that. We want a day when there are no wars. We strive for a day when there are no borders. But we don't live in that, and we never will live in that until the kingdom actually comes. So to say that in the name of mercy we must break down these borders, we must do it now, we must have heaven on earth now, is a very dangerous thing. And over the course of time, every policy...
And let me step in a little bit here, because I agree with a lot of what you're saying, in fact. But I think you have done a good job of differentiating, but I want to stress it again. It's one thing to say love your neighbor, and of course we want to be charitable, and you cannot look at those pictures and feel for those people that are suffering under that bridge, although now most of them have been moved out, nor those who were drowning coming across the Rio Grande trying to get into the nation. But the problem is when you keep raising money to provide for them food and cover once they get here, and even in some cases sanctuary from immigration authorities, well, at that point, like you said, you've gone beyond love, and you yourself are involved in breaking laws. Now, raising money to help feed someone, that's not, but it opens the door of everybody should have a heart to help them, but we can't bring everybody in the country.
You're right, and it shows what the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has put some of their focus on, and the money issue itself, where in the fiscal in 2020, for example, they collected $50 million for migration and refugee services. Now, a lot of that came from the federal government, but compare that to how much they collected for pro-life activities, which have been significantly more divisive in the conference. That was $777,000 for the same year. So this is where their money is going. And it's also important to note that they have said that we need to be open-armed. We need to be more merciful. We need to be more kind and more welcoming. And all of us in our personal lives do. But there is no country on the planet which is more open, as more open arms, as more kind, as more giving than the United States. Since the mid-60s, when we changed our immigration laws, we've brought about 60-something million people, legal migrants, into this country, which is unprecedented for any country at any time in any place with any movement of people in any part of history that we have any trace of.
Since you brought up the money that they've raised for pro-life versus the money they've raised for charity, substantial difference. And as you point out, that's not to say they're not pro-life. Obviously, the Catholics are. But just today, the House of Representatives did approve a Democrat-backed bill guaranteeing a woman's right to abortion nationwide, goes even more than Roe v. Wade, and House Speaker Pelosi has been criticized by the Archbishop of San Francisco, her home district, as saying this is nothing short of child sacrifice.
Yes, and some of the bishops, including Archbishop Salvatore in San Francisco, Cardinal Strickland in Texas, these people have been extremely bold and loud in speaking up for those who have no voices. A few years ago, this was an unpopular stance. The bishops want to not compromise their access to politicians in the hope that they can sway them and not drive people away. But we've lost something in the Catholic religion in the last 60 or so years, which is that you can't give forgiveness and you cannot have mercy without repentance. And over again, the Catholic politicians or the self-professed Catholic politicians are demanding that they get mercy, demanding that they are forgiven without ever repenting. That is a heresy through and through, and it's about time. It's good that the bishops have stood up. I understand that they haven't wanted to play that card because they don't want to be divisive, but at this stage in our lives in the United States, and we have a professed Catholic Speaker of the House and professed Catholic President of the United States pushing things which are considered non-negotiable in the Catholic Church, that's the kind of confusion that we need the bishops to stand up for and the clergy. The priests have been very brave on this.
Yeah,
priests are often the ones who are.
Let me draw down on that point. You're listening to Christopher Bedford, senior editor with The Federalist. This last summer, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops voted overwhelmingly to draft a document saying the Eucharist would not be given to Biden and other politicians who support abortion policy, saying that they should not do that. But the Pope just this month advised the bishops against denying the Eucharist for political reasons. He said, "I've never refused it to anyone. It isn't a prize for being perfect." So even inside the Catholic community, there's division as to, well, how are we supposed to treat these politicians that, according to the Archbishop of San Francisco, are willing to sacrifice babies?
And it's interesting that the Pope would say that, because as Pope, he has never denied anyone. But when he was a cardinal before in South America, he did deny politicians who were complicit in the drug trade and murder in his home country. He is trying to take a softer approach here with America's politicians, and he has a very great wariness of the American church. He's attacked conservatives.
Right.
He's attacked Catholic media institutions. He's attacked the Catholic bishops. He's attacked the American Catholic Church in general. He thinks that it's aligned against him and trying to sow division.
There's another article I want to get into that you did with co-author Rachel Bovard. Is that correct? I'm sorry if I mispronounced it.
Bovard.
Since we're talking about legislation anyway, we know the Senate's trying to push forward with mass amnesty, and they apparently this last weekend, the ruling from the Senate parliamentarian that they could not do it. But a mass amnesty, it looks like Pelosi and Schumer are going to continue to push that. What does that actually mean regarding illegals in the country now, and what it does for opening the door for more to say, time for us to run in?
If they're able to get the mass amnesty through, we're looking at millions and millions and millions who are immediately made into either legal residents or U.S. citizens, depending. And everyone who has that, everyone who comes over the border, everyone who's granted that is now American citizens have increased access and rights to bringing over family, bringing over those loved ones, bringing over your nuclear family, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your children. So that allows for more and more of the legal immigration to continue, which is on top of the numbers which we have as a legislature, our elected legislature has decided are the caps and the limits that we're going to bring into this country. All of that is on top of what the representatives of the people have asked for. The Democratic leadership's in a bit of a bind here, though. They tried to push this through special rules in the United States Senate, through reconciliation, and they were somewhat told no by the Senate parliamentarian, who said this is too far out of what these kind of bills are allowed to do. It's too expensive, basically. So they're going to have to go back, and they're going to have to try again. And they're trying to blame all this just on the Senate parliamentarian. They're trying to say this and that, we can tweak it here. But the reality is right now, the Senate Democrats, shockingly to me, do not have the votes.
Yeah.
Senator Joe Manchin is not backing them at all. Kyrsten Sinema is on the fence, not sure if they're going to back them. So right now they're trying to make a villain out of the Senate parliamentarian. They're trying to avoid being blamed for not getting these votes. But the reality is they don't have them, just like the Republicans
tried
to do the same thing.
We'll see where it goes. Christopher Bedford of The Federalist, always appreciate it. Great information. The audience loves hearing from you, and I thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. By the way, folks, he and his co-author wrote on that piece about amnesty in general that's trying to be pushed through. He said Democrats don't have it, as you heard, but they try to water it down. He said their closing argument, the article from Bedford and his co-author, "A Rule to Carry You With You in Washington," nothing that nearly every time someone in power claims is too complicated to explain, they just don't want to tell you. It's understandable. It's a frightening story coming up. My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. perfect, plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There are some stories you read and you think this cannot be true. It cannot be going on. And certainly it's got to be exaggerated. There's got to be something in this story that just isn't right, other than the whole story is talking about something that is not right. There's a school called the Dalton School. It's very exclusive. And last fall, some of the parents got wind of some teachings going on at Dalton School. Now, this school has kids of different ages, different ranges. It was originally considered and called the Children's University School, a private co-ed college prep school in New York City. They have a high school, and now they have lower grades as well. It's a very expensive private school, but it runs from K to 12. Tuition for the 2021-2022 school year for grades K through 12, and I cannot tell you, looking at this, if it's less if you talk about a kindergarten student versus senior. They just give the full number here. The tuition includes full cost of books, laptops, tablets, and lunch, $55,000 per year. Well, apparently that $55,000 applies even if they're just first graders. And the Dalton School, trying to be so woke, had decided to bring in and to teach the kids things that they need to know later on in life. I mean, there are things, yes, there are things every child is going to have to learn, but let them be children as long as they can. In this nation in particular, we thank God we don't have our children constantly huddling in the middle of the night of bombs going off and murderous gangs rampaging through homes, carrying out genocide, killing them for their color or religion. But there are countries where that happens on a daily basis, and you can imagine the trauma it causes for those kids. No, but here we're creating trauma. What the Dalton School administrators decided to do is they decided to bring in a health and wellness educator, Justine Ann Font, F-O-N-T-E. She had already been previously leading porn literacy workshops at another elite prep school. That should have raised some questions. Well, she was using a cartoon that had been produced that she was using in sex ed classes for six-year-olds, showing little kids talking about touching themselves for pleasure. The little boy in the cartoon says, "Hey, how come sometimes my penis gets big?" and points in the air. And then a little girl also says, "Sometimes when I'm in the bathroom, I'm in bed, I like to touch myself." And they're encouraging it. They're teaching these kids, this is okay. Well, of course it's okay, but at 6 years old, I would suggest that parents be talking to their kids before they get to maybe the fourth, fifth, sixth grade for sure. But I don't want teachers and some bringing somebody in to do this for sixth graders. They're also taught lessons about consent in the sense that moms almost have to ask, can I hug you? Is it okay for me to hug you? That's what one parent said. She said, literally, parents are supposed to say to their kids, may I hug you? And then another mother said, I'm paying $50,000 to these a-holes to tell my child not to let grandfather hug her when he sees her. And the first grader's subjects also include gender assignment. understanding gender assigned at birth, gender identity, gender expression. One daughter and mother saying, looking at this, kids have no less than five classes on gender identity. She said, and I agree, she said, this is pure indoctrination. And, of course, the parents are absolutely incensed, and rightly so, saying they were not being told. Well, the adults and educators, when it's suddenly confronted with, oh, we misunderstood. We didn't know what was happening. What the hell do you mean you didn't know what was happening? You're responsible for their kids, their safety, and their education. And now you say, well, we didn't know, but will you please send our $55,000 check in for your child? We cannot allow this kind of crap to continue in schools, be they private or public, at that level and that age. We have to put a stop to it. When you see it, speak out against it. Fight against it. Rail against it. Children at some point are going to have to know this information. But do you want to expose a child to a body cut in half by an explosion, some terrorist set? Do you want to go and show them that? At some point, they may have to encounter it. They may be fighting against terrorists and encounter it, even among their own troops. But not at 6 years old. Next hour, please don't miss it.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.